Don't move a muscle. The podcast is starting.
Hello and welcome to Pop Trivia Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Joe.
And I'm Cassie.
And today we're going to be reading, we're going to be talking about...
We read it today, too.
Well, yes, we did read it immediately before recording.
So it's fresh in our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. The title.
Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah. The title is the title.
Yes.
Yeah. It's exciting. I have a question. When we get to Prisoner of Azkaban, am I going to go back to doing the hello and welcome to?
That is totally up to you.
Okay. I'm going to have to start practicing.
You are the one that's in charge of this podcast.
Yeah. before we get into the meat of the chapter, we do want to... we talked about some hard stuff last episode. We had some difficult conversations, some uncomfortable conversations,
but
which
some
we
important
should
conversations.
Yes, which we should have those conversations. So this is the hard stuff part two, which is what I've written in my notes, which I've labeled this as. In the last few days, I don't remember what day it was because time is an illusion, and it really is an illusion right now. Rowling put out an extended statement to explain, and I'm doing air quotes, some of her tweets that we commented on last episode. It's still really bad. It basically just doubles down on what she was saying before. And I've retweeted a few folks who broke it down point by point, either tracking down the studies that she like obliquely references but doesn't actually source, which is a suspect thing to do, or just wholly discrediting her arguments. And they're much more qualified than me to do that level of analysis, but what they said makes a lot of sense to me, at least. And frankly, I don't want to waste my breath on this anymore. I not in the sense of I don't think we should comment on what a garbage person she is, because she is. And I think that in order for us to keep doing a Harry Potter podcast, that's like the bare minimum of what we have to do in regards to this. But I don't want to waste my breath on, like, I feel like it.
We don't have to give any power to her words.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Instead, I want to recognize two of the black trans women who were recently murdered, Rhea Milton and Dominique Fells. I want to call attention to the fact that the Trump administration recently gutted protections for trans people by eliminating regulations that the Obama administration had passed to prevent trans people from being discriminated against by healthcare providers. They did this during Pride Month and on the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. The timing here is not an accident.
This is entirely intentional.
Yeah, this is intentional and it's an attack and it's just unacceptable and it's disgusting. I've retweeted links to petitions you can sign and GoFundMes that you can contribute to for those two specific women. Please sign them. I know it's hard right now to donate money, that a lot of people are out of work, and you've possibly donated to a lot of other causes within these last couple of weeks. So I understand, you know, don't run yourself ragged trying to help other people. But if you can donate, please do. If you can't, please sign the petition. It's totally free. And it's something you can do that doesn't cost any money.
And if you can donate, still sign this petition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. Both of them, preferably. And if you are trans or questioning your gender, many states in the U.S. Offer their own protections that aren't affected, to my knowledge, by this federal deregulation. So I have retweeted a map, too, of those states that you can look at and see if yours is eligible. And I also believe that Planned Parenthood does offer hormone therapy and some related services now. So please know that there are options out there for you. Planned Parenthood, at least in my experience, has always been super helpful. It was totally free for me. I was a student at the time. They do, I think, consider your income, but it's either at a low cost or no cost. They're discreet. They're helpful. They have protections there for you. So please do take advantage of that. And otherwise, keep making noise, keep disavowing Rowling and retracting any financial support you may have given her or plan to give her, and instead redirect those funds towards bail funds, GoFundMes, nonprofit organizations that fight for the rights of Black folks and trans folks and other oppressed people. Support queer creators, support Black creators, especially within the Harry Potter fandom, and other folks of color within the fandom, because we need to create a space for them. Because if we're being honest, the Harry Potter fandom has been historically super white,
And we're part of that.
Yeah, we're part of that. And we need to make sure that we're doing what we can to create that space for them and amplify and boost their voices and keep putting pressure on your local politicians to speak out against what the federal government is doing and pass what regulations and protections that they can within your state to protect the most vulnerable people or one of the most vulnerable peoples in our country. And also, too, if you can, if you are looking for causes to donate to, try to look in your local area. There are, of course, great federal organizations that do need your money and do need your support. But like I was able to find a bail fund in our specific area of New York State. So start local if you can. It's important to look at your community and see what you can do within it to affect change. Yeah. Anything to add? I feel like I covered a lot.
But, yeah. I think for the most part, you've got it. We have to say trans lives matter. Black lives still matter.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going away just because it's not in the news as much anymore. Yeah.
And on that note, these protests are still happening. They're still big. So don't let it not being in the news fool you. Yeah. All right. Now we get to pivot. This time we're talking about giant snakes instead of giant spiders. So
yes,
it's a different pivot, but it still feels gross.
Yeah, so let's go into the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
But not until the last, like, three pages of the chapter.
Yeah, they didn't spend a lot of time there for the chapter being called that. yeah, so it is my turn to do the chapter summary this week.
And I am pulling up timer.
A lot happened in this chapter. I don't know how this is going to go. I'm going to read really fast.
Well, you're good at that, so.
Oh, thank you. Are you going to press it when I start?
Hmm?
Okay. Harry and Ron want to go to the bathroom to investigate, but they're having trouble slipping away from the teacher's watchful eyes. Ginny is acting weird and frightened and wants to tell Harry and Ron something, but Percy interrupts. Harry and Ron see Hermione in the hospital wing and discover a torn page from a book in her hand about basilisks, which is the creature in the Chamber of Secrets. Ginny is taken to the chamber to die slash be killed, and Harry and Ron go to rescue her, dragging Gilderoy along with them, who's been revealed to be a fraud. Gilderoy tries to erase their memories with Ron's busted wand, but it backfires.
Wow, 24 seconds.
Wow, okay. I left a lot out of that
24.97.
Okay. I didn't have to read that fast. I also really had to stop myself because the first few words I wrote were, Harry and Ron want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yep. They want to go to the bathroom. They just can't.
Yeah.
The teachers have to take them there and they have stage fright.
Well, no, it's...
I'm kidding.
Okay. Okay, I'm making sure you knew the context of that.
Yes, we can basically start off there if you'd like.
Yeah, it's basically like they've been trying to slip away, but like they're being walked from class to class. So.
They're being walked everywhere. In the previous chapter, they do specifically say like students are being walked to the bathroom by teachers.
Yeah, so they can't really just go and like be like, hey, I want to go to the girls' bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take me to the...
The closed girls' bathroom.
Abandoned girls' bathroom.
So I can ask the right ghost questions.
To, yeah, right next to the first attack.
Yeah, yeah. So they're kind of at a standstill here. And there's a bit of a bright spot because McGonagall, who is like the interim headmistress right now, while Dumbledore's gone,
mm-hmm.
wherever he went off to.
Is it headmistress or is it still just headmaster?
She's deputy headmistress, yeah. If
okay.
we have to gender the term, yeah, it would be headmistress.
Okay. I didn't realize that they did gender that.
Yeah. So there is this like initial hope because McGonagall announces that the mandrakes are ready to go and that everybody should be unpetrified.
Yeah. That night.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great news. And they're hopeful that that means that somebody would have seen the attacker and be able to give some information. This doesn't work out quite the way they would want it to, because that puts some heat on whoever the heir of Slytherin is to be like, I better take care of this stuff tonight, because if not, somebody's going to squeal.
Yeah, there's some pressure put on the person out to kill people to really make sure that they die.
Yes. And McGonagall announces this at breakfast and Ginny comes up to Harry and Ron looking like she's got something to say. She's all pale and she's rocking back and forth. And Harry compares her in his monologue, I guess, to Dobby looking like he's going to reveal some kind of forbidden information, which I do not think is a flattering comparison for poor Ginny.
I think he's talking more about the body language.
I get that.
I really shouldn't say this. I really can't say this, but I have to.
Yeah, but Dobby is like a disgusting little creature.
I think Dobby is adorable.
Okay. Yeah. That's your cross to bear, I guess.
And I will carry it proudly.
Okay. So Ginny wants to tell them something, and she gets close, but someone steps in.
And then
in.
Percy comes out of nowhere. She's taking in the deep breath to say whatever she was about to say.
Yeah.
And Harry's pretty sure it was about the Chamber of Secrets.
Mm-hmm. And Percy's
Yeah, Percy like, comes out. If you're finished eating, I'll take that seat, Ginny.
Yeah, he's like,
starving.
I want my bacon. I want my sausages.
How big is this table? Did they really not account for everyone sitting at once?
No, Percy just wants to sit in like the prime spot with famous Harry Potter.
Yeah, apparently Ginny took the best spot, which was left open.
And he could have been like, hey, could you scooch down a little so I can squeeze in?
Or literally anything else. There's a table.
Yeah.
It's a whole table.
And I mean, even if Percy had sat next to Ginny, I think the implication is that Ginny doesn't feel comfortable saying whatever this is in front of Percy.
Yeah.
But still, Percy is a real jerk in this scene.
Yeah, that was mean.
It was mean.
And then he like plays off what she was about to say.
Yeah, because like, Harry Potter were like, they were going to tell, she was going to tell us something, Percy.
I didn't really want her to say anything anyway. She caught me doing something.
Yeah, doing something I asked her not to tell anyone about. And I can't believe that they accept this explanation as like, oh, this is what Ginny was going to say. Because like, Ginny looked real freaked out.
Yeah, I don't
like
see
whatever
it
was Percy was doing, because we don't know at this point. We know, but we don't know at this point. I cannot imagine that anything like this would put Ginny in this state unless it was like a life or death thing.
I don't see it as like they bought it. I see it as Ginny booked it out of there. There was no catching up to her. But actually, I did want to go back and talk about how the chapter really opens. Which is, and we're all taking tests still.
Oh, yeah. Which was difficult to read right now in the context of, hey, there's some big things happening right now, and it's kind of traumatic for students. And so, for the most part, I would say, at least in America, exams and grades have been kind of pushed aside.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I'm in
kindergarten
right
now. Yeah, there weren't exams, really, per se.
But like we would have done assessing and definitely did not. And my report cards that I put in were just comments.
Yeah. So for the school to be like, hey, I know your friends have been attacked by a mysterious creature, but we're still going to take tests.
Yeah.
And Ron has a funny line about this. He's like, God, poor Hermione is going to like wake up and be like, you have a test to take in 3 days. He's like, it might be the merciful thing to do to just leave her until after the exams have passed. Which is funny, but like, what are they going to do for Hermione? She's missed like a month
students.
Of instruction. Like, what? Yeah, like Justin's been petrified for how long? Since
Colin
like
Creepy's
Christmas?
Been out since.
Oh, it's Colin that was on Christmas, right? Or no, Christmas was the when they took the Polyjuice potion.
No, Colin was well before then.
Yeah.
Colin was like that first
Colin's
game.
Colin's missed like all of the school year.
Yeah. Colin's going to have to go back to his second year next year. Or his first year next year.
Well, he doesn't, but.
They just push him along. He was traumatized
enough.
Yeah,
social promotion. Oh, God. Yeah, it's again, the academic system here is deeply, deeply flawed.
Which brings us to when McGonagall actually reveals that like they have the stuff to bring everyone back from petrification.
Yeah.
I really liked what people were calling out, and I'm surprised you didn't highlight it.
Oh, when she's like, I have great news.
And we get Dumbledore's coming back. You've caught the heir of Slytherin. Quidditch matches are back on.
Yeah. My boyfriend Oliver Wood thought that like, what do we really need right now? What is the best news? The stuff that needs to be announced right now. And obviously it's Quidditch. Yeah, what a goof. So later, Harry and Ron try to sneak into Moaning Myrtle's bathroom by tricking Lockhart into not escorting them to History of Magic. They're like gassing him up. They're like, it's safe, Professor Lockhart. nobody's going to attack us. You don't have to do this.
And well, he's the whole time he's walking, he's complaining about it.
Yeah.
He's whining the whole time. The first words out of their poor petrified mouths will be, it was Hagrid. He's upset. He's like looking disheveled because he didn't get the sleep last night.
Or curl his hair.
Yeah.
Been there. No, I haven't.
So they egg him on and he's like, you know what? You're right. I will leave you here in the hallway and go back and get ready for the next class.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Prep my lesson.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Prep for class.
Yeah.
Pick out which chapter he's going to act out with the sixth years.
And so Harry and Ron sneak off and almost get to the bathroom, but they run into McGonagall. And I feel like this is an important thing I need to reveal because it messes me up whenever I read my notes and do this podcast. Is in my notes, I refer to McGonagall as McG.
Okay.
So I don't have to type her whole name. Hermione is also Herms, but Joe has forbidden me from saying that aloud on the podcast.
I don't remember saying that,
but
I agree. You reacted
very badly when I tried.
I agree. It's not good.
But Harry and Ron get stopped by McGonagall, and Harry comes up, honestly, with a great lie. And I think that we didn't give Ron and Harry enough credit in previous chapters for not being able to be sneaky, or maybe they've just like learned how to be sneaky in a really short amount of time. This is a great lie.
They fell into this one. Harry's just like, what's the first thing I could think of? Hermione. And he goes on and
he's like, it's so sad.
They pull a string in McGonagall's heart.
We haven't been able to see her. So hard being without her.
I almost broke up a little bit when he was like, we thought we'd sneak into the hospital wing and tell her that the mandrakes are ready and nothing to worry about. Yeah,
it's good. It's very clever. And McGonagall buys it. She like gets emotional. She's like, of course, I hadn't considered how challenging this is for the friends of the victims. And she's so sweet. And I think this is the first time we've seen McGonagall kind of soften and not be as strict as she usually is presented as.
And Harry fully expects her to like, you know, it's written, oh, I thought she was going to explode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is nice to see a softer side.
Yeah. I love McGonagall. I think she's a phenomenal character. And this is a good scene, even though Harry and Ron are kind of pulling the wool over her eyes here. But it ends up being helpful because McGonagall does take them to Hermione and Harry and Ron are sitting and, I don't know, attending. I don't know the right word to use there.
Visiting her?
Visiting. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Attending sounds like she's dead. And they find a crushed up piece of paper clenched in Hermione's petrified hand, which they have to like finagle out
Harry,
without ripping
it. Arm wrestles Hermione.
Yeah, they're like looking out for Madame Pomfrey so she doesn't come over like, what are you doing?
He's just like jamming his finger in her fist.
Yeah.
For several minutes.
Yeah. And they finally manage to pull it out. And it is a page torn from a library book.
Which reveals that Hermione solved this months ago.
I don't know if it's been months.
I have no idea.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah,
Hermione figured it out a while ago, and Dum Dum, Harry, and Ron have been running around like, oh, I guess we gotta go follow the spiders.
But yeah, so it's revealed that Hermione found out it's a basilisk, and we find out a lot about basilisks.
It's a basilisk. That's the monster in the Chamber of Secrets.
The monster in the Chamber of Secrets is a basilisk, and that she even figured out that it's getting around through the pipes within the school.
This must have been such a discovery for young Hermione. Like, you ever just, like, put everything together? You ever have that moment where, like, you figure out all of it and how it works and you're just like, I got it. I don't know.
Well, she figured it out before she left, before that Quidditch game.
Yeah.
She goes, aha, I got it. And then runs off to the library to
But, like,
be
reading
ready to
about
back
all
it up.
This and then being like, the pipes.
I was
and,
right.
And you know how real Hermione was about it because not only did she tear a page out of a library book, she also wrote on it, which I do not think are things that Hermione would consider in any situation other than one as dire as this.
I mean, she was going around with like another student and a mirror. She was ready to be, well, if I'm petrified, they better find this.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about basilisks, because this is not an invention of the Harry Potter series. Basilisks are a thing outside of it. So basilisks appear in Greek and Roman mythology. As far as the etymology of the term, I'm going to borrow the explanation from the Harry Potter lexicon. Of course, in the legendary sense, it refers to the creature, the basilisk, but it also comes from the Latin word Basilicus, which I might be saying wrong, which means royal. So the nickname King of Serpents fits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I said, the basilisks appear in Greek and Roman legends. In them, like in Harry Potter, the basilisk can kill with a glance or a single breath in some of them. And its weakness is the odor of a weasel and the tears of a griffin, which is different in Harry Potter. It's the crow of a rooster that mm-hmm. will kill the basilisk. Maybe this was changed to avoid confusion with the Weasleys. I don't know.
The smell of Ron will kill the basilisk.
It's a good thing that Ron gets trapped behind that like rock fall.
Otherwise, that would have been a quick fight.
The library page that Hermione pulled explains that the basilisk is born from a chicken's egg when it is hatched beneath a toad. And this is odd for a couple of reasons. The first of which is that because the basilisk is killed by the rooster's crow, if it's some like the egg is somewhere near chickens, even if it's not hatched underneath the chicken, wouldn't the rooster like kill it immediately?
It's a chicken egg. It's hatched under a toad.
Yes.
So it's
but like, let's say the egg just like rolled off like 6 feet and a toad sat on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The roosters would still be nearby.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, I just took this as a, like, it's hard to breed a basilisk intentionally.
I don't think they're common.
Yeah, so that's one thing.
I feel like it would be easier to do it intentionally than accidentally.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But the other reason it's kind of weird is that in those legends and that mythology, a cockatrice is hatched from a chicken egg when it's incubated by either a serpent or a toad, and a basilisk instead is born from the egg of a serpent or a toad that's incubated by a chicken. So it gets like reversed.
Switched
for the
around.
Harry Potter
okay.
series. Yeah. It's weird. I don't think there's any good explanation for that. It's possible that the writer just got this confused. But it's, just an important detail I wanted to point out. Other than that, there's not a ton that I can relate back to the Harry Potter series. I'm not going to say there's not other interesting stuff about basilisks, but that's the context that's important here. Wasn't that interesting?
Yes, it was. sorry.
More interesting or less interesting than Gog Magog?
More.
Okay.
You went on about Gog Magog.
It's so much fun to say.
I mean, yes, it's fun to say Gog Magog, but...
Don't you feel it now that you've said it a couple times? Just like, don't you want to keep...
I was never against you saying Gog Magog. I was against the depth in which you went into the etymology of the etymology of the etymology.
Okay. All right. So it's a basilisk.
It's a basilisk. And conveniently, in the one strip of a book that Hermione rips out, it also has every other mystery they were trying to solve of like, oh, and this is why the roosters were killed. This is why we were told to follow the spiders.
Yeah.
It's just like everything's conveniently there.
Yeah. And Harry is able to put together why the petrification happened rather than these people were just killed by meeting the basilisk's gaze.
Yes. If they don't look at it directly, but still see it in some way.
Yeah. So like Mrs. Norris looked at the reflection in the water that was spilled on the floor. Justin saw it through nearly headless Nick. Nick
was already dead.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter.
Colin saw it through his camera, and Hermione and the Ravenclaw girl saw it in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure all this out, and they're like, we got to tell somebody.
We got, for once, for the first time, they're like, let's tell an adult.
And they're like, McGonagall will be back at the staff room soon. We need to tell her.
Yeah, rather than run into her classroom, they decide.
I mean, she would be pretty pissed if they interrupted class.
But if they interrupt their class with like, we know where the Chamber of Secrets is.
Yeah, I guess. We know what's in there.
We know everything is solved now.
Yeah. So they go to intercept her at the staff room. But instead, they hear an announcement by McGonagall that all the students need to go back to their dormitories and all the staff need to meet in the staff room. So they instead decide to hide in the closet of the staff room so that they can overhear the meeting.
Yes. They hang out in there and hear some not so fun stuff and also some fun stuff.
Yeah. The not so fun stuff is that there is a new message on the wall that what is it, like her skeleton will be in the chamber forever or something.
Her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever.
OK, close enough.
And Ginny Weasley is that student who was taken.
I have to ask, how did McGonagall know that it was Ginny?
I don't know.
Like, did she do a head count?
No, because she would have realized. Well, actually, she knew exactly where Harry and Ron were.
Yeah.
So I guess they're not technically missing.
And also her skeleton.
Her skeleton. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
I don't think there is an explanation. She found out really quickly.
She found out quickly. And
like when she tells all of the professors to like go to the dormitories and like make sure everybody's there, make sure nobody was left in the hallways. She says like, make sure nobody was left in the hallways. So like, it doesn't seem like she's really taken account of everybody yet. I don't know. It was just weird to me. I just wondered how they knew it was Ginny.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess potentially if Ginny was like supposed to be in class at that time, like maybe she was supposed to be in McGonagall's class and McGonagall realized she was missing. I don't know. It's just it didn't work for me. That little detail.
There's another unexplained thing that's going to happen in a little bit.
Okay.
That we'll talk about. But for now, we hear that and then Lockhart bursts in. So sorry. Dozed off. What have I missed?
Ugh, and
he left them to prepare for a class.
Yeah.
So he left and just took a nap.
Yes. We knew that's what he was going to do. And everybody comes after him.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
With Snape for the first time in a long time. Snape starts this
so
off.
So happy is a far. That's credit that I'm not willing to give at this point, but I was not just seething the man, with rage.
The very man. A girl has been snatched by the monster, Lockhart, taken to the Chamber of Secrets. Your moment has come at last.
And everybody like heaps on with him.
Yeah, they take that cue and they run with it.
They are sick of this dude. They're tired.
Are you saying you've known all along where the entrance to the Chamber of Secrets is? You told me you were sure you knew what was inside it. You said you were sorry you hadn't had a crack at the monster before Hagrid was arrested and that the whole affair had been bungled and you should have been given free rein from the first.
Yeah.
Just he had been going on and those teachers were happy to throw it back at him.
And like I love too that once he goes, he's like, yes, I'm just gonna go prepare. McGonagall's like, all right, now that he's gone, let's talk about the real stuff.
All right, I'm glad we got rid of him. Thank you. Let's get some actual work done.
Yeah, it's a wild scene.
But then we cut to them just back in the dorms, which is the unexplained thing of they're in that wardrobe. Do they wait till everyone's gone? Do they talk
to
McGonagall?
And then, like, race up to the dormitory?
And if, like, McGonagall addressed them because they were in the wardrobe, they would have said something.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have decided, no, now's the time to keep that secret.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
They just cut straight, like, they're hiding in it.
I guess the only explanation I can think of is that McGonagall is busy doing other things, so, like, maybe somebody else went to go and check on the Gryffindors, but, like, I would have to assume that unless it was like Snape or something, they would tell whoever that was.
But they make it to the common room.
Yeah.
So like, I guess all the staff just cleared out and they snuck back to Gryffindor Tower, which seems like the worst choice for them.
I mean, they don't make great choices. They're 12-year-old boys.
Yeah. Anyway, Percy's not there.
Percy's the worst. He goes to send an owl to his parents and then just like goes and hides in his room.
Yeah, which is a great way for a prefect to act.
Also, I know they don't use Muggle technology, but like sending an owl to be like, hey, your daughter is probably dead. It just seems like deeply insensitive.
Yeah.
We'll learn about like other technologies or not even technologies, magical means that they could have used to communicate with the Weasleys. But like, imagine waking up one day, checking the mail and being like, hey, Ginny was taken down into the Chamber of Secrets and is probably dead. There needs to be a more immediate form of communication here.
Absolutely. Even though there's not really a more immediate way for them to do anything about it.
Sure. What a weird thing.
Yeah.
And so Harry and Ron kind of just slip out. Like they wait for Fred and George to go to sleep. And then they just slip out and it's not really hard because nobody is going to stop them.
They don't wait. Look,
No, they wait for Fred and George, at least.
Yes. So they wait for Fred and George to leave, but then they just walk away and none of the other Gryffindors who are still awake.
Because what are they going to
say anything?
Go up to Ron and be like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And they decide that they are going to tell Lockhart what they know because if he is going to try to get into the Chamber of Secrets, he should at least be going with the latest information.
Which really shows just how desperate they are for help.
Yeah.
Because this whole time they have been against Lockhart and thought he was good for nothing. And now they're like, well, let's at least give him some extra help. Let's tell him where it is.
Yeah.
Let's tell him what's in there.
Because it's a real situation. And I think that they realized that when Hermione was petrified, that like hit it home of like, oh, we're not messing around here. Like my friend is in danger. Everybody is in danger. And so now that Ginny's life is on the line, they're like, there's no time to worry about like grudges and whether Lockhart is capable of doing this or not. We have to do whatever we can to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good of them and it's the right thing to do.
Unfortunately,
Lockhart's the worst.
Yep. They arrive to him just making a mess of his.
He's packing his bags.
Yeah. He like opens the door just a crack to see who it is and then relaxes when he sees, oh, it's just two students wandering the hallway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make it quick. I'm busy.
Yeah. And they're upset with him. They're like, you're going to leave? Like, I thought you were this hero. And
urgent matter.
Yeah, there's a really good exchange here that I love a lot. Lockhart says books can be misleading and Harry says you wrote them, which I really, really enjoyed. And I think it might be one of the first instances of sassy Harry. Harry has some really good, like, sassy retorts throughout this series. And this one, I think, is up there.
It's a very good one.
It doesn't crown another one, but it's very good.
But yeah, so he goes on to reveal that he's done nothing other than steal people's stories. He goes, he talks to people who have saved others and then interviews them and wipes their memory.
Yes. And now we have to talk about some weird stuff. When Lockhart is explaining why these people wouldn't be like suitable action heroes,
explicitly
basically
saying they're ugly.
Yes.
We have ugly old Armenian warlock. And a witch with a hairy chin.
Yes. The witch who banished the Band and Banshee had a hairy chin, which is disgusting at any point to be like, oh, they're ugly, so they can't be famous. But especially gross in the context of Rowling's transphobic statements right now. This is, it's proof that the author's bias is injected here. And I know that it is Lockhart saying these things, so it's not supposed to be like channeling the author's intentions and voice directly, but it says something that she's like, well, what's something that can be ugly about a woman? Something that is usually a masculine feature. It just, ugh. But there's something really weird here other than that, because when I was reading Gladriel, not about this line specifically, but just checking on what she had said about this chapter to see if there was anything interesting to bring in, she quoted this line as the witch who banished the Band and Banshee had a hair lip, which is different from what I had read. Mm-hmm. So I went to my physical version of the book, which is the first mass market paperback printing from 2002, which I bought at a Scholastic book fair in like third grade or something. And it has the hair lip line.
Oh, so they changed it.
Yeah. So the ebook that Joe and I are reading is the Pottermore edition from 2012. So it had to have changed somewhere between them. I checked the Harry Potter lexicon because they have a page that notes the differences between the UK and the US editions. I thought maybe that's where the difference might have sprung up because they do change some phrasing and stuff in there. That didn't have anything about this. I guess I have to imagine that for some reason, at some point, they thought that this was a good edit to make and changed it for future printings.
I would assume that they went with what's the less offensive version. They're
both pretty bad. Like it's there's the point. Like,
but I think some publishers realized that going after people with hair lips was not acceptable.
Absolutely. So instead, they go after women who have hairy chins. And not even just to take that from like a transphobia standpoint, I think it is transphobic, but like also as a woman who is Italian, hairs grow there sometimes and there's nothing we could do about it. And we need to just accept that. But yeah, I'm really interested in when this change was made and why, although I don't think I'll ever get a satisfying explanation for why, because I don't think there's a satisfying explanation of why. I'm certainly not going to go out and purchase other copies of the book to check. But if any of our listeners have some laying around and don't mind checking and reporting back, I'm interested to see like when exactly the first switch was. Like if it was the physical, if it happened within the physical editions or when they did the ebook, they like went through and changed stuff. I don't know. It's weird. It's just like an odd thing. And I'm curious when it happened. In my paperback, if it helps anybody, it happens on page 378. But if you just go to the chapter 16 and find when they're talking to Lockhart, it's not that hard to locate. Yeah. So if you do check, I'd appreciate it. And, you know, you can reach out to us, Twitter, email, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah. But gross either way.
I mean, both versions are bad. Both versions are bad. The one thing I would say is I feel like that's a stereotype I've seen for just witches, like large mole on nose, hairy chin.
But those come from a way of policing gender and gender expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, that it's probably a reference to that, but neither
is good, but Lockhart is not portrayed as good.
No.
So we shouldn't be taking these things as standards to live by anyway.
Yeah, but in the current context, it's really jumped out. Yeah. So Harry uses Expelliarmus on Lockhart because Lockhart goes to erase their memories now that they know the truth about him.
Yeah, he did not have to explain all of that.
Yeah, and he doesn't so casually. He's just like, oh, yeah, one more thing. I'm going to erase your memories because you know too much now.
No, but like, he didn't have to tell him any of that.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have to let them in. He didn't have to let. But like, if he let them in, packed up and left without explaining any of that, he wouldn't have had to erase their memory.
I mean, he could have just said, like, the school is going to close and I'm packing up so I can leave.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to go down to the Chamber of Secrets and rescue her and then we're all just going to go home. I don't know. He didn't have to. It's the cliched scene of like, and now I'm going to explain my entire plan. And it's stupid, but that's Lockhart. So Harry uses Expelliarmus on him and Ron catches Lockhart's wand and throws it out the window. Feel like somebody with a busted wand would maybe want to hang on to Lockhart's.
I would see not wanting to have Lockhart have the opportunity.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, I don't think his wand Ron back. Wasn't planning to steal this wand.
No, he should have been, though. And they basically march Lockhart out and they're like, you're going to the Chamber of Secrets. You're coming with us.
Guess what? We know where it is. And you're saving Ron's sister.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that everyone in this chapter is taking Lockhart to task for being a fraud and saying, like, you've been making all these claims. Now it's time to do your job. I wish that they would apply similar critical thought to other staff members at Hogwarts named Snape, but I'll take what I can get. So they go to the bathroom, Myrtle's bathroom, and Harry asks Myrtle how she died, and she is psyched.
She's so happy. Oh, I never thought you'd ask.
She is like giddy to tell him all about it. And like, why?
And like so proud the whole time.
Why? I guess it's Myrtle is a teenage girl and this is like the coolest thing to have happened to her. And she's excited that somebody is taking an interest in her. And I guess I kind of like the bent of it, too, is just like teenage girls are weird. They're obsessed with weird things. And Myrtle's is bathrooms and death. Yeah, but she tells the story of how she died. And God, why didn't they ask earlier?
Oh, I know. It's such a story.
And it's kind of fun that way in a mystery sense of like the answer was literally under my nose the whole time. Ron's like, she was three toilets away this whole time. Why didn't we ask her?
And I feel like just to pass the time, that's something. Yeah, like
talk to Myrtle.
Although as a mortal, I don't know, like as a living person, I don't know if I would know if ghosts
remember.
No, if ghosts would be okay with that question. Like, is that an offensive question for a ghost? Clearly it's not.
Well, yeah, because like if you remember back in the first book when Hermione, or is it Ron that asks, like, how can you be nearly headless? Nick is kind of bothered by the question.
Well, Nick is bothered by that question.
For a lot of reasons, but like,
because
death is not a comfortable subject. I know that he's upset about it because like I've been rejected by the headless hunt because of this and blah, 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 blah. And so it's more personal for him. But like if Myrtle's story is something personal, embarrassing like that, I think that they've maybe learned not to go around and cavalierly ask people how they died.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, Myrtle's happy too. And it's all about how, like, she got bullied and...
all of Hornby was making fun of her glasses, so she went to the bathroom to cry.
And then, like, totally unrelated. Oh, and then I heard a boy's voice in the bathroom. He was speaking a different language. I opened the door to yell at him and just died.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I looked up Olive Hornby. There's nothing interesting about her.
There is a very great Moaning Myrtle, or The Moaning Myrtles. Is that the band?
Yeah, I think it is The Moaning Myrtles.
The Moaning Myrtles
song. And Then I Died.
About this scene. We can finally recommend this song along with...
Never Going to the Bathroom by Harry and the Potters.
Nah, we can wait on that one.
I mean... Yeah, actually, there's some spoilers in that one.
Yeah.
Listen to the Moaning Myrtle one.
I was going to say, Save Ginny Weasley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's also a really good one. Wizard Rock is great. Please listen to Wizard Rock.
Yes.
Yeah, that song is great. And that was all I was thinking about during this scene. Yeah. And then they go to the Chamber of Secrets.
a key thing in her story is... she points out where she saw the big yellow eyes. And it is the general area of some sinks. Mm-hmm. And Harry goes over and finds a sink with a snake just carved into it. And then after a couple failed attempts, which I thought it was funny to see, like, and then he pretends there's a snake and says,
he pretends
open.
It's wiggling, yeah.
And Ron's just like, nah, that's English.
Yeah, that's fun. I still can't get past this scene, especially reminded me of it. And I mentioned it before that as a kid reading this, I thought that Moaning Myrtle's bathroom was just like a single bathroom, like a toilet and a sink.
Okay, yeah.
And just like I was brought back to that mental image that I had of Harry talking to the sink and it being a single bathroom. And like I'm thinking about all these things that they say that like Myrtle points to a specific sink and is like, oh, that one's never worked. And like Ron
also,
is saying
they
like
go
three
into
toilets
stalls
away.
When
yeah,
they turn,
I'm like,
when
how
they
did
turn,
I not?
Into different people's
I was 7
apologies.
Years old.
Yeah.
I was 7. But like still, I was dumb. I'm still dumb. But yeah. Yeah, I was really brought back to that. Yeah, but Harry manages to open the, not portal.
The porthole.
Sure, yeah, no. That's better.
The sink moves out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's a giant.
A slide, basically.
Yeah, there's a giant water slide lubricated with slime.
Oh, God.
But I did like the little note of when Harry first goes over the sink, Myrtle, which we know has been dead for 50 years, says, yeah. Oh, that sink has never worked.
No, and nobody has thought
to try
to fix it.
Nobody's tried to fix it. Like, I get that it's closed. It's a closed bathroom. But over 50 years, nobody's tried to fix the sink or wondered why it didn't work.
Hogwarts can't even hire, like, competent teachers. Do you really think that they're hiring, like, a plumber to come look at the sink?
Don't probably you think somebody... Argus Filch has stabbed that thing with a wrench a couple
sure,
times?
Sure, yeah. And maybe somebody rolled down there and said repairo and it didn't fix it. And they're like, well, guess it's broken.
That's the end of that.
Not my job. Yeah.
But yeah, they push
they go down the water
Lockhart
slide.
into the tube.
Yeah.
And then follow him shortly after. It doesn't sound like they waited for him to land.
No.
To see if it was safe. They were just like, well, I mean.
We'll just land on him.
Yeah.
He'll break the fall. Yeah, actually, especially because last time they jumped down a mysterious hole, they landed in Devil's Snare. They should maybe be a little more careful.
They really like blindly falling into pits.
Yeah.
And yeah. It always goes well for them.
But they do land safely in this chamber that Ron speculates is under the lake because mm-hmm. it's all wet. Kind of just assume that's what sewers and plumbing is like, but sure,
I know,
it could be under the lake.
It's attached to a bathroom and apparently several other
pipes. I assume this is like
school.
The network of pipes throughout the school because
yeah.
that's how the basilisk is going around. And some things happen down here. I don't know. It wasn't that interesting. My notes stop here.
Oh, okay.
Like, big things happen, but I'm going to let you take this one.
Sure. The next thing I have highlighted is that Lockhart was covered in slime and white as a ghost. Mm-hmm. Once Harry comes out, I liked that Harry realizing only while in the slide that, oh, how is this going to end? And then thankfully it like levels out and he just slides out.
I mean, that's kind of Harry. Jump first, think later.
Yes, that is Harry all the time, forever. We get to see Lumos again. Once again, this is the first book that it showed up and we're going to see it constantly from now on. Mm-hmm. And now Harry's saying, any sign of movement, close your eyes right away.
Yeah.
Which is funny because not much later they find the snake skin. Mm-hmm. And when Harry turns to look at Ron and Lockhart.
Lockhart's just covering his eyes. Yeah. I'm just going to keep him closed.
Yeah. Once they find the skin, it's not long before Lockhart goes and tackles Ron.
Yeah, he full on tackles
him. Yeah, he tackles Ron. He tackles this 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Steals his wand and goes to erase their memory. But of course, before erasing their memory, he does have to tell them that he is going to take a piece of snake skin and say that it was too late to save Ginny. And then he's going to erase their memories and say the two of them went insane seeing her corpse, mm-hmm. which is just a horrifying thought.
He would have
thought.
To come up with a whole explanation as to why Harry and Ron were with him in that moment, but I'll leave that for Lockhart to worry about. Also, I think this is a good bit of, it's not really irony, but it exposes how terrible Lockhart is as a teacher because, like, McGonagall's been on Ron all year for like that wand's messed up, Ron, you got to replace that. So like if Lockhart was at all a competent teacher who worked with his students on magic and paid attention to his students,
if he ever asked his students to cast a spell,
yeah,
he would have realized, oh, that kid's wand is exploding.
Like I better get
Harry's
wand.
Purple is oozing out of that. That's not what I asked to happen.
Yeah. So it works too that like his own, not even just him being a fraud, but him being a terrible teacher, too, is what is his downfall, ultimately. Yes. Yeah. So he tries to erase their memories. It does not work. He's kind of blown back and the chamber like caves in, separating Harry, Ron.
Yeah. Harry conveniently runs in the right direction to be on the other side of the rock wall.
Yeah.
And
to be fair, Ron was just tackled.
Yes. Ron spends time just kicking Lockhart.
Can you blame him?
No, I do not at all. Harry goes, are you okay, Ron? Are you okay? And Ron says, I'm here. I'm okay. This gets not.
Yeah. And Harry and Ron, I think, have a really sweet exchange here because Harry goes to say, like, if I'm not back in an hour. And Ron says something good. He's like, I'm going to try clearing some rocks so that you can get back through. And both of them kind of like hesitate in these statements. And I like the gravity with which they're kind of dealing with this, that Harry is saying like, this is a real situation and I'm putting my life on the line here. And I like Ron's sort of assurance of like, you're going to come back.
Yeah.
You're going to come back through.
It's going to be ready for you to come back.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I think that bravery being one of the main topics that runs through this series and that we've talked about a lot, I think that Ron and Harry are very brave in this chapter. And it's especially powerful here because it's contrasted with Lockhart's cowardice.
Yes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I thought this was a really good chapter.
Yeah. Do we know what house Lockhart belongs to?
I can Google it. I don't know off the top of my head if it's ever been said.
Did he go to Hogwarts?
Yeah. What? Where else would he have gone?
I don't know. Any other magic school? What is that noise?
I don't know. I don't like any of the other magic schools.
Okay. But that's not.
I know. No, I know. Option,
you
I
know.
Let's see. Goals, crimes, type of villain. What? History, origin. Oh, he's a half-blood. He was in Ravenclaw.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, as incompetent as Lockhart is, it does take a certain level of, like, intelligence and cleverness to be able to steal these stories and maintain this persona and, like, be able to kind of lie on the fly and make up stories of, like, what happened. So, like, yeah, he's the wrong kind of smart. He's applied his intelligence in the wrong ways, but, yeah, he's smart, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't set out to do this. That wasn't his life goal as a child.
Just kind of stumbled into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is this chapter kind of ends on a cliffhanger. Harry just kind of goes further down the chamber.
Well, he goes further down this chamber and sees another door.
Yes.
A door with two giant stone snakes with emerald eyes. He once again says open in parcel tongue, and they part ways.
Yeah. And that's the chapter.
That's the chapter.
Which brings us to Spell of the Wick.
The spell is the memory charm, of course. It gets its big debut here. The incantation is Obliviate.
Obliviate. That's how I say it. I don't know. I'm a dumb American, too. I mean,
what are you saying?
Right. Obliviate?
Yeah, the phonetic spelling is Obliviate. Like O-H.
Obliviate. But I say Oblivion.
Yeah. I like Obliviate.
Okay.
That's my opinion, but that's not really how phonetics works.
To a degree, yeah, it is.
But yeah, it's a memory charm, also known as the forgetfulness charm. It erases memories. Lockhart, of course, was using it to erase the memories of the people that he was stealing his stories from. Do you think he went back and stole the and like erased the memories of the people that were saved?
I have to imagine so. Yeah, he would have to.
I guess.
I think also that there is a way to do partial memory erasure that like Obliviate, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you have the page open. Obliviate is just like, let's get rid of everything. Whereas you can target specific memories.
That is Obliviate.
Okay. So maybe it's just that in it backfiring, that's what happens to Lockhart.
It sounds like he was planning to, like, because
that's true.
You can target specific memories, but I think you can just do everything if you need to.
Yeah, I guess that would fit with the Harry and Ron went crazy explanation.
Yeah. So he might have been trying to just totally erase everything. So he could have erased just the memory of the person that
right.
did it.
Right. That's what I kind of assumed, because he would want them to still remember like the creature and the events leading up to it, so that if somebody went there later and started asking questions, the story didn't fall apart.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not that attentive to detail.
I could imagine he is.
Yeah.
I could imagine he was thorough.
If he's made a career out of this, yes. Sure. Yeah.
Doing it in multiple areas and all that. Of course, he does pick remote villages.
Yeah.
Things that are harder to get to.
So Obliviate.
Obliviate. It's often used on muggles who see something magical so that they can erase the magical thing. Let's see. If performed improperly, can erase significant portions of someone's memory rather than just the intended. All right. So the etymology, Obliviate, may be derived from the Latin oblivisci.
Oblivisci. Okay.
Meaning to forget, or the English word oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is defined as fact or condition of forgetting or having forgotten.
Sure, that fits.
And also another version of to forget, the Latin term oblivio, which means to forget.
Okay, sure.
So pretty straightforward.
Yeah, so that's the spell?
That is Spell of the Week.
Beautiful. So I have very exciting news.
Do we have an email?
We sure do.
Wow.
You can send an email to owlpost@potrificustotalis.com with your thoughts and your comments and your corrections. But we sure do have an email from my friend Jose Luis, who has written in previously. I think we read it in the early Chamber of Secrets chapters. He wrote about Hero's Journey stuff. But he sent us a great new email this week, so I'm going to read it. Hey, guys. with everything that has been going on, I'm glad you guys are still doing the podcast. It took me a while to get around to listening to this week's episode, Aragog, because of related events. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I purchased the whole series as ebooks for light reading during the pandemic, only to take a pause because, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to bring up something that I've been thinking about a lot. When I think of Harry Potter as a whole, I find it interesting how the books and movies are a standout in their respective mediums, which feels unique to this series. There are plenty of times when an acclaimed book series gets adapted that either just stops at one movie, like The Dark Tower, or isn't able to keep a strong momentum going, like the Divergent series. To me, it's entirely possible that the Harry Potter movies could have stopped production halfway through because it was impossible to predict how big the series was. And as movies, in my opinion, they're good. We can have a discussion about what they changed from the books all day, but if we looked at them as their own thing, it's a solid film series. And the movies have become just as renowned and beloved as the books, which feels practically impossible. The movies have become just as important to the fandom as the books. I just find this so special because it feels like lightning struck twice. Maybe it's just me gushing as a film fan. I just find it really cool that it exists as a book and movie series on equal footing, which doesn't always happen. I hope you guys are safe. I love listening to the podcast. Jose Luis. That was a nice email. I have a few things to say about this. First of all, I totally relate to the struggle of right now, like having just purchased the ebooks and then being like, oh boy, I just gave money to this person. It's a challenge to think about like all of the things that I've bought over the years and the trips we've taken to the Harry Potter theme parks, and just, yeah, that's rough. And kind of escapism in the light reading during the pandemic, I think, is part of the reason that it's so important for us to keep doing the podcast, is that like things like this, entertainment, is what keeps people going. Especially podcasts are something so personal. Like it feels like you're part of a conversation with two friends, if that makes sense. So it's nice to have that, especially in a time when we are socially isolating, socially distancing. So that's very nice, and I appreciate that we're able to do that for someone.
Yeah, and I do just need to say that he's definitely not just referring to what J.K. Rowling is doing.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course.
You know, this is still about the Black Lives Matter protests.
Yes. Yeah.
And
it's a weird time,
yes,
right now.
All around.
Yeah.
But I was worried you were getting lost in like, it's just the transphobia statements, which of course are horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of things. I think this is an interesting discussion, too, about the books and the movies, that he's absolutely right that the road to adapting a book series into like a movie or TV series is littered with bad examples,
yeah,
of things that just like didn't quite make it, or they try to shove everything together. Have you seen actually the Percy Jackson movie?
I did see the Percy Jackson movie. It was fine.
I've heard that people have a lot of problems with it, but I believe it's being adapted into a TV series now.
Okay, I hope that's better.
Yeah, I think that the writer too is actually involved with the TV series, which is great. He has publicly said very negative things about J.K. Rowling right now too, so he's good in my book right now.
It was funny to see a few different authors of young adult novels that I had never heard of speak out against her, because I was like, I guess I've got more reading to do.
Yeah, she's like the biggest in this space, and if you put out a fantasy YA novel, you're going to get compared to Harry Potter. Like, no matter what, somebody's going to compare you to Harry Potter. So for having this person like exposed as a garbage person to be like, yeah, you could be reading other books. I don't know. It must be vindicating. It is, I agree, a miracle that the movies turned out as well as they did. I have problems with the movies as like an avid reader of the books, and especially as somebody who read a lot of the books before the movies came out. I think that I have that unique experience of like being really amped to see like, how are they going to make this scene work? Like, how is this going to play out? And having these pre-established notions of like, this is what I think the characters look like, and this is how I think that this scene should be interpreted. And then seeing how they do it differently in the movies can be a little difficult. But on the whole, I agree that the movies are really, really good.
Yeah, they're very solid movies. That's how I started with the series.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that speaks to it, that you, as somebody who hadn't really read the books prior to that, could be like, I really like Harry Potter, having just seen the movies, that like it gave you that entryway into it, and the experience wasn't totally compromised by watching the movies.
Yeah, and watching all of the movies in a row is something my best friend and I have done multiple times, and it is always a little bit of torture, but a lot of fun.
And I think that at least the only one that comes to mind of like a book series that was adapted also to a series of movies and got it really, really right is The Lord of the Rings, which I have also watched in one sitting with Joe and his friend. And it's not easy, but like those movies are so good. We watch Lord of the Rings a lot. Like, more is healthy, maybe. More than is healthy, maybe. But yeah, like I agree too that it was like a big bet that they took on these movies.
Because they started production of the movies before the whole series was finished, which I think is
right.
Very risky.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if she just stopped
Well, the same thing happened kind of with Game of Thrones. I think that they intentionally, we don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't know, actually, if you've watched any Game of Thrones. I've
watched several. Like, I keep watching the first, like, five episodes, hoping that it'll catch me and that I don't have any motivation to keep going. Okay. And then, like, a year later, I'll be like, well, let's try that. And it still doesn't work.
I know very little about Game of Thrones. I haven't read the books. I haven't watched any of the TV show. But my understanding is that early on, they kind of diverged from the books, but they did get to a point where they're like, hey, we have to end our show, or they didn't have to. There's a lot of weird stuff around the Game of Thrones ending, but like, they're like, we're gonna end our show. The books haven't ended yet, so we got to figure out what we're gonna do. So they were essentially taking that same kind of dice roll with the Harry Potter series of like, we might get to a point, if we want to release these movies as frequently as Hollywood probably is going to want to release them, we might have to be writing our own ending here.
I think that unless J.K. Rowling went out and said, like, I'm done writing these books, I think they would have waited.
Okay, that's fair. And I'm sure there's like contractual stuff wrapped up in all of this. And I don't know if this is totally right. Somebody can correct me on it. But I believe that the kids were signed on for, I think, 4 movies when they signed their initial contracts and then renegotiated, which is a common thing with like a TV series. If you don't know how far it's going to go, you sign a contract for like a certain number of seasons that you think you might get to. Mm-hmm. And then they renegotiate, which is why sometimes like actors disappear in the middle of TV shows, or like why they're recasted. I'm thinking very specifically of Downton Abbey, because this happened with 2 very major characters in season 3. But yeah, I believe that they signed the kids on for 4 movies, and that could theoretically allow them, like, if it wasn't doing as well as they wanted it to, the movie series, that they could kind of like
just kinda rush, cut it.
Yeah, cut things off. And Divergent is a really interesting example there, because I think they did 2 movies and those 2 didn't perform super well. And then they did like direct to DVD releases for release for the last one.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Divergent's very good.
I don't think I ever saw them.
You don't have to.
Oh, no, I did see the first one.
Okay, it's like Divergent.
And then I never heard of anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Divergent's weird. Yeah, but yeah, it's really hard. And it's something close to my heart, too, that very recently we rewatched a bunch of the Hunger Games movies. I don't think we rewatched all of them. We might have just did the first 2.
Yeah, we only got through the first 2.
Okay.
And then you kind of said you were done.
Because I know I don't like the Mockingjay movies. That, like, those are 2 that I don't think went exactly as I would have liked. Because I think the Hunger Games books are really, really good, and the movies kind of lose some of that nuance. But I think the Harry Potter movies kind of keep a lot of the nuance of the books.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, in a way that a lot of movies tend to fail, especially movie series. There's something about, like, even if they get the first one right, the later ones just get... and also we watched the movie adaptation of The Hate U Give last night. Was that last night?
That was last night.
Oh my God, time. And I wasn't super happy about how they adapted that. There were some changes that I think were not so good. So yeah, it's just a weird thing. And I agree that like the Harry Potter series got it really right.
But on the other hand, there's definitely some stuff that, like,
oh yeah,
I came into the books knowing that I love the movies, and then leaving the books thinking like, oh man, these movies could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, it probably didn't help that you had me whispering in your ear the whole time like, the books are better.
I don't think you really did that at
all.
Oh,
I didn't? That shows a remarkable self-restraint on my part, because I tell people that all the time.
I mean, I never like read them with you.
No, but we were together at the time. Yeah. And you were borrowing my copies of the books.
But like, I wasn't like sitting next to you letting
you do it.
No, I was very happy to.
Also, you did sit next to me and read the Harry Potter books all those nights at the movie theater when I was closing out.
Oh, right.
I remember having multiple conversations with you where you like just got passed apart and you were like, oh my God, this is what happens in the books. And I'm like, yeah, the books are better. Yeah, I do think that the books are better. And part of that is just the advent of them having more time to deal with all this stuff. Like, it's hard to put a 700 page book into a 2-hour long movie.
Yeah, that's why I think it should be a TV series.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, and sometimes I think it is for the worse that the movies have become so ingrained in the fandom, because like, I think that we can get wrapped up in the mental image that the movies have presented to us of some of the characters and locations and stuff like that. Like, I have this nostalgia for a lot of the early illustrations and concept art and stuff that came out around the Harry Potter books prior to the movies, because it was so original and you were able to see all the artists' unique takes on these things that were only described in words. But now that we have this common image of what Harry Potter looks like to go back to, I think we've kind of lost some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there are people within the fandom who have continued to pump out amazing fan art that have, like, this is what I always imagined it to be like. And, like, what if this character looked like this? And I think that's great and worth supporting, too. And that the two can obviously coexist, and they do within the fandom. So, I really appreciate this email, Jose. I think it's thoughtful. I really appreciate it. I don't know if this was intentional, but he said, I just find this so special because it feels like lightning struck twice. I like that pun, whether it was intended or not. It entertained me, but
the thing that I was going to say is about how the movies are so ingrained in the fandom. We own Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit.
Oh yeah.
And all the questions are just about the movies.
Yeah,
we're,
it's
like
really
getting
frustrating.
Things wrong as we're playing and be like, no, that's how it is, but in the movie it's different.
Yeah, that is frustrating. Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit is frustrating. We should find a way. Nah, that wouldn't really work.
Also, Cassie's bad at it.
I have won every time we've played.
That's not true. I won the last time we played.
Oh, all right. Well. But I won last time we played Monopoly, so that's what's important.
When's the last time we played Monopoly?
July of last year. I know because I have a video of me recording saying, you need to admit that I won at Monopoly. I'm well adjusted. thank you for the email, Jose. I really appreciate just your thoughts and your reflections. We really need to get around to doing our movie episodes. We want to do a watch along with us podcast episode of the movies where we comment on the movies, but it's going to be hard to restrain myself sometimes.
Yeah, so one of the ways we could do it is just watch it and talk about it after the fact.
That's true.
Or I really do like the idea of
doing a live watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with that, though, is that when I watch the Harry Potter movies, I pause them all the time to talk about, I have a problem with this because.
But this is a great opportunity for Cassie, because no matter what we're watching, she talks through everything. Everything. And it's only sometimes related. Sometimes it just strikes a nerve and she goes on a rant. And I have not watched the entirety of a movie in quite some time.
We watched all of The Hate U Give.
You're right. You didn't talk through
all of that. I paused it once to use to make popcorn.
You paused it three times, but still.
Okay. I needed a lot of popcorn. And we watched I Didn't Say Anything all through Lady Bird.
Okay. So the movies that you pick out and are enjoying are the ones that you're not going to talk through.
The ones that you pick out, I just fall asleep during.
Fall asleep during or talk through the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't even when we're in a movie theater, I talk.
Yeah. You're not good.
I'm bad. My brain is bad. Anyway, thank you for the email, Jose. Other people and Jose can send us in an email by emailing owlpost@potrificus.totalis.com or visiting our website and hitting the email us button. And I promise I will try to respond to it like a normal human. Yes, and you can follow us on Twitter @Potrificus. I've full on stopped with the Facebook page. I'm going to go ahead and admit it. It just shares the tweets from our Twitter page. So, if you want to hand your data over to Facebook, I guess you can do that. But I don't like Facebook. So you can follow us on Twitter, visit us on the web @PotrificusTotalis.com to get detailed show notes, listen to our episodes. Joe is checking the name of the next chapter right now. Detailed show notes. Some of the episodes have transcriptions, that sort of thing. You can subscribe to us wherever you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, I don't know, at any app you use, we should be on there. And you can join us for Chapter 17,
The Heir of Slytherin.